Welcome to week 47 of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit and our first week together in the new year 2018. We're going to be looking at two references to the Holy Spirit in this week's readings, both of them from the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, the most quoted book in the Bible. Just joking. First of all, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 14, we read, "Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he said, 'Listen, all Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude,'" and he was talking about their enemies, "for the battle is not yours, but God's." As you can already surmise, this is one of those references to the work of the Spirit that is filled with hope and encouragement. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks into our life, He reminds us that any battle we face, any adversary that confronts us, no matter how great, no matter how large, no matter how powerful, no matter how seemingly invincible, any battle and adversary that confronts us is not ours. It's God's battle. This truth was brought home to me in a very unusual way in my first pastorate. As a young pastor in my first church, I wanted to honor God in everything that I did. And now, almost 40 years later, I still want to honor God in everything I do. I haven't abandoned that desire. But there was a young man in our congregation who was extremely troubled. I had invested a good amount of time in him, but like many who are troubled, when you invest a lot of time in them, it doesn't ensure that they're always going to see you as a friend. And I say that because people who have great needs often tend to make great demands. And since no human being can meet all of those demands, the day inevitably comes when you won't meet some of their expectations and they will immediately turn on you despite all the good you've done for them previously. I've seen that numerous times in ministry. Well, this young man was one of the first occasions when I learned that. I don't even remember what it was that he was unhappy with where I was concerned, but he decided to attack my character and my credibility in public. He stole some tools out of my garage. It was right next door to the church because I lived in a parsonage that was right next door to the church. I knew he had stolen them, but he denied it when I confronted him. And then he went to anyone and everyone in the church who would listen to him and attempted to persuade them that I was falsely, accusing him and lying about him because I didn't like him. And he was such a good liar that he convinced some people that I was intentionally attacking him with falsehoods. Well, to get a reputation as a liar who attacks other people with falsehood, that doesn't do a whole lot for your pastoral credibility and pastoral ministry. And so I was tempted to try to find out everybody he had talked to so that I could go talk to them and set the record straight. And as I thought about that, I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to me clearly and said, Rock, don't do that. Don't start down that path. It won't work. And it's not necessary. I've got this. And then he quoted to me the words from our text. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Rock, it's my battle. Let me handle it. So even though it went against everything inside of me that said, you can't just let this go on, you've got to do something, I let it go on, and the only thing I did was pray and wait upon the Lord. And it took several weeks, but after several weeks, the young man was caught in his lies. And people realized he had made the whole thing up, and it was him attacking me, not me attacking him. Further, when they realized that while he had been doing this, I hadn't counterattacked, but had quietly trusted God to fight my battle, what the enemy intended for evil was turned to good, because it gave me increased credibility with that congregation I had been called to serve. They saw that I was willing to trust God, even with my reputation, when it was being attacked with lies. They saw that I took God at His word when He said, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. And so what the enemy intended to undermine my ministry enhanced my personal ministry. That's why this particular verse has always had great personal meaning for me. I have found it to be true. And I want to remind you that there will be times when God will call you to take up your sword and take up your shield and fight. But there will be other times when God will tell you, sit this one out. I've got this one. You can't win this. I can. This battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. And when He says that, everything in you will scream, don't just sit there, do something. But you will be doing something. You will be taking God at His word. And that's the best thing you can do in any situation. And then there will be times when God does, as I said, tell you to do your part in the fight. But even in those times when you're doing your part, this verse reminds us that ultimately, the outcome of the battle lies in the hands of God, because you're His child. Your destiny lies on His heart. He thinks about you at night when you're sleeping and not thinking about Him. Every battle that a child of God faces, because they are God's child, is God's battle. And that's something that the Holy Spirit communicates to us continually. The Holy Spirit reminds us our battles are God's battles, and God wins His battles. The second reference in this week's reading is also in 2 Chronicles, this time in chapter 24. In verse 20 we read, "Then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, and he stood above the people and said, 'Thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you.' So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord." Now, don't panic. I'm not going to suggest that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you'll end up stoned in church. What I am going to suggest is that the same Spirit that in an earlier chapter spoke great encouragement, in chapter 24 speaks of great judgment. And what does that have to do with us? It's a reminder that one of the ways in which the Spirit helps us to grow in grace and in our knowledge of the Lord is by speaking to us in those moments when we are transgressing a commandment of the Lord and failing to prosper because of our disobedience. In short, the Holy Spirit loves you enough to tell you the truth. He doesn't blow smoke so that you'll like him. He doesn't curry your favor. He's not concerned with his latest approval ratings. He will tell you the truth. He loves you enough to tell you the truth. And the reality is, he's God and God cannot lie. Of course, he'll tell you the truth. But you know, there's another alternative to telling the truth besides lying, and that alternative would be to say nothing. But the Holy Spirit loves you too much to say nothing when he knows you're breaking God's commandments. Because as I've reminded you before during my teaching on weekends, the commandments of God are just revelations of his nature in terms we can understand. And the commandments of God establish the boundaries within which there is great blessing and outside of which there is great heartache. Because the Spirit loves you, when you are stepping outside the boundaries of love, stepping into great heartache and ruin, he will always be there to speak the truth, to speak it sternly, without mincing any words and without any compromise. He'll be there to remind you that if you continue in that path, you will pay a price. Not because God's vindictive, but because when you put yourself outside of blessing, you will always reap disappointment. It's inevitable. I also want to remind you that if you are willing to echo the Holy Spirit and speak truth to others, there will be times when God will call upon you to rebuke another believer. And that's a biblical mandate. The New Testament tells us that we're to rebuke one another. And if we see somebody caught up in a sin, we're to talk to them very frankly about that. Now, I know from experience, not everybody will welcome that honesty. Sometimes, like the people in the passage we're looking at currently, you'll get pushback. The people to whom you're speaking truth will attack you. You won't be stoned to death in the temple of the Lord, but you may experience the stones of false judgments, accusation, and anger. You may find people saying things like, "Who are you to point out my faults? You're not perfect. I know you do this, and I know people say you're like that, Why don't you go fix your own mess before you talk to me about mine? Leave me alone, you hypocrite. But you can't let that intimidate you. If God is calling you to speak truth to a brother or sister who is walking down the wrong path, to refuse to speak truth to them is to betray love. It's tantamount to a parent who claims to love their child but refuses to speak truth to them about bad choices. That's not love, that's betrayal. So, the Holy Spirit will speak candidly to you about your failings out of love, and He'll ask you to love others enough to be His spokesperson when He wants to speak to them about their sins. That latter won't always be met with applause. Sometimes it will feel like you're being verbally stoned. But if you are faithful to God, you won't come out on the short side of the ledger. He'll honor you for your obedience, and even if that other person doesn't recognize the love that prompted you, God recognizes it, and He's the one to whom we give an account. God bless you. You have a great week. As you follow the Holy Spirit, whether He's encouraging you in battle or calling you to wade into one, God bless.